Today on Real Radio.
You and I must be born again to worship God. Our hearts need to be completely changed before we can worship God rightly, says the Bible. So we need a new spiritual birth. And I want to ask you this morning, regarding the pathology of worship, have you experienced a new spiritual birth?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his mini-series called Why Should I? And we're about to hear the continuation of Why Should I Worship? If you were with us during our last two broadcasts, you now know that when we use this term worship, we're not just talking about singing. Many of us have fallen into the habit of referring to the music in a church service as worship. Well, that's just part of it. If you are a true believer, all that you do and say is to be for the glory of Almighty God. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
The book of Revelation is such a glorious book, and where do you see the church? Praising God in heaven in the book of Revelation. A multitude so vast, called out from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And what are they doing? Are they witnessing from door to door? No. Are they feeding the homeless in heaven? No. They're worshiping. I love it. Jot this down if you would. Worship as a spiritual act, it requires new spirituality. Can you put that down, please? It requires new spirituality. Meaning, you cannot worship God, the Bible says, unless you're born again. You can't do it. You must be born again. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, John 20:21, Jesus said unto them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this unto them, he breathed on them, and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. John chapter 20, verses 21 to 22, is that moment for the first time regarding the birth of the New Testament believer. It was in that moment of John chapter 20 when the believers were born again. The Spirit of God began to dwell in them when Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. He came inside of them at that moment. And then, of course, the book of Acts is when he came upon them for ministry. You and I must be born again to worship God. Our hearts need to be completely changed before we can worship God rightly, says the Bible. So we need a new spiritual birth. And I want to ask you this morning, regarding the pathology of worship, have you experienced a new spiritual birth? You say, well, Jack, why are you saying this? Because listen, you can be religious. You can be a choir director. You can be a worship leader. And listen, you can miss heaven. That sounds awful mean. Who was the greatest worship leader ever created? Louis Lucifer. Lucifer. God created him. Read the book of Ezekiel. Read the book of Isaiah. It's trippy. The Bible says, and if my memory serves me right, I don't have it in my notes, I think it's Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, if it's not, reverse those chapters and read about him. He's pretty interesting, Satan is. The Bible says concerning his creation, there has been no angel created more beautiful than Lucifer. He was given extreme wisdom, and it was his job, listen, it was his job to lead all the created universe into worship of God, says the Bible. It says that out of his side go pipes. Pipes? Hey, what does that look like? I don't know. It's got to be weird, though. Out of his side go pipes, and his hands, it says, were as timbrels. You know what timbrels are? Tambourines. You ever seen those cartoons when somebody's trying to play and be the whole band at once, and the guy just walks, and he's the drum, the horns, and the cymbals, and it appears that Satan was one living, breathing, moving worship apparatus for the glory of God. But in his worship, the Bible says he became jealous. And he declares in the book of Isaiah his great five I wills. And it all begins with, I will be like God. And the Bible tells us that he was brought down to nothing because of his arrogance and his pride. But he was a tremendous created being for worship. Well, we need to have new hearts. We need to be born again if we're going to worship God right. And so the question is, are you born again? Have you had a new spiritual life so that you might worship? Secondly, under this point, worship is a spiritual act in that it requires divine truth. Did you know that? It requires divine truth. I think you know where I'm going with this one. We came through it not too long ago, John chapter 4, regarding the Samaritan woman at the well, Jacob's well. John chapter 4, verse 23, as Jesus was conversing with her and talking back and forth about worship, the question came, and she said, we worship God in this mountain, and Mount Gerizim, and you Jews say that God should be worshipped in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, listen, verse 23, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, people mark it, there's true worshipers and there's false worshipers. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Spirit is that born-again experience that we're talking about. Truth is God's prescribed manner of approaching him. There is a way. Now, again, I'm just talking to this church, but I'm wondering if we were to have a test or an essay, if I were to hand you a piece of paper and I would say to you, as a Christian, as a believer, note for me or write down a page of how do we approach God? My friend, this is a very serious question because the Christian ought to be able to answer that essay. This is how we must approach God. We're to know this. Listen, it's because of professing Christians not knowing that we offer up all kinds of stuff in the name of worship. Oh, did you hear the worship tonight? Well, I don't know. Was it worship? Sometimes I listen to Christian radio. And for the life of me, I cannot tell if that band or if that person is singing about a woman or God. I can't tell if he's singing about a girl or she's singing about a guy or they're singing about God. I can't tell. I don't know. Is it worship? Well, it cannot be worship without obeying Jesus in this area. Are you born again? Is it spirit? And then secondly, is it truth? Do you know how to approach him? And so people, you know what? That's why we have worship and that's why we get together. And we have our time with him. Why? Because we learn more and more about worship. It's so precious. Listen, this is a very good example on knowing him in this truth and divine truth. Exodus 3:12. Exodus 3:12 says this. And you know the story. Moses is there on top of Mount Sinai. There's the burning bush. And so he said, I will certainly be with you. God speaks to Moses. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. So, well, that doesn't tell me anything. It tells you everything. The word in Hebrew means the self-existing one, the one who becomes, or the becoming one. I love that, by the way. God, I'm going to go down. I'm going to do the job that you've asked me to do. But when they ask me who sent me down there, what do I say? They're going to ask me for your name. God says, this is my name. I am that I am. I've never had a birth. I'll never have a death. I have always been. I transcend all that there is. I'm outside of it all. And I'll be with you. That's worshiping him in truth. When we sing, my friend, in our songs, and forgive me, but, you know, we put the words up on the screens. I don't personally think that's good, but we do it because of protest. You want to know why? Because if you have them on the screen, you'll never memorize them in your heart. You'll just wait for the operator to throw them up, and we'll mouth them. And if it doesn't sink into our chest and into our heart, we'll just wait next week until it comes around so we can look again. I came from a church in the early days, they would not even print up the words because Pastor Chuck Smith would say, learn them. So that when you're driving down the street tomorrow, you can be whistling the tune and singing the song because it's in your life. It's okay to put them up on the screen. Let's just commit them to memory. Why? Because we want to worship him in truth. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You get that stuck in your head, and that's a good thing to chew on. A mighty fortress is our God. You start whistling that in your head, and the problems of your life daily get a little smaller. Because all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I got this problem. Hey, you are a mighty fortress. That's right, I just got done singing that little ditty in my head. God, that's right. You know what I'm talking about, it's true. You wanna know how you know it's true and how I know it's true? It's very painful what I'm gonna say, and it doesn't sound like you're having much of a good time anyway right now this morning anyway. We can go down the freeway, we can get to our work, turn off the car, and walk into the company. And what's in our head? I don't know. Elton John's Goodbye Norma Jean. What? Yeah, I love you, yeah, by the Beatles. What are you saying? Is this evil? I'm not saying necessarily it's evil, but I am definitely saying it gets stuck in your head. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't it funny at Christmas time, we're all walking around at the store going, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to him. Where did that come from? Because you sang it in church. You heard it on K-Big or whatever the radio station was. You were tuned into K-Wave. It gets in there. And that's a very, very important thing because you know what? Truth, listen, we have to nurse on truth. We have to eat upon truth. We have to consume truth. Because there's a world outside these walls that is waiting to consume you and I when we leave this place. And it's very subtle. It'd take this Bible study, and by noon today, your neighbor might say, hey, what was the message on today? Worship. I don't know, something about why should I? I don't know, I wasn't paying attention. Because we're not meditating on the truth. Are you convicted as I'm convicted? I'm convicted. I've been praying for years. I love jazz music. I love jazz. I confess that. God help me. Pray for me, will you? And, oh Lord, please, get some of these jazz people saved so I can listen to their music without being convicted, you know. And I'll listen to some, and it's some cute old jazz song, and the Lord will say, turn it off. But God, don't you know that in 1947, this one went to the top of the charts? You think that impresses? Oh, Jack, I'm sorry. That's right. And it's by Tony Bennett. I should have known. No, it doesn't impress him. But what is it for you? Celine Dion? Who is it for you? Julio Rodriguez or... What? Whatever. But who is it for you? Who is it for you? See, you go, I can't believe our pastor sneaks some jazz music in from time to time. Oh, listen, what is your thing? That's why we should listen to godly music. I don't care if it says Christian on the label anymore. Doesn't mean it's Christian. I heard a broadcast. I didn't even know it was the I didn't even know who they were. Quite frankly, I don't really like them. But this band was singing, and I didn't even know it was the band, the song. I'm listening to the word. We are like sheep without a shepherd, wandering around this lonely wilderness, and we need your... And I don't remember the rest of the song. And I, wow, what a great Christian song that is. Woo! And it was great from start to finish. Great! You know who was singing the song? The Eagles. The words to the song were more Christian than so-called Christian songs. Is somebody on the Eagles saved? I don't know. A friend of mine told me recently, through all of his hardships and tragedies, God got the attention of a man that you all know. He's so famous. He's a legend. His whole life has changed. He lost his child, lost his wife, and through of all, has all the wealth and all the fame in all the world. And you know what? He said it means nothing to him anymore. Eric Clapton gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great thing? Listen, I got news for you. I have a friend on the East Coast of the United States who, after the death of Linda McCartney, who, by the way, on Monday nights, Linda McCartney's sister was having Monday night Bible studies in the McCartney home in England, that Paul McCartney has been witness to several times about the love and the forgiveness of God, and pray for him. Rumor has it that he's so close. These are men with great talents and great influence. But you know what? God-given talents? Sure. But what did they do with them? Did they prostitute those talents for the world? Or perhaps in the end, can they be given to God? And we look down at the world because of all their lyrics and all of their conduct, and justifiably so. But you know what? They don't know any better. They don't have the truth you do. They don't have the truth I do. They're not born again. But you know what? What about us? I mean this with all of my heart. And if you know, you listen to the stuff that Pastor Don's got to put up with worship, because I'm always telling Don, oh, Don, just lead me there, man. Lead me there. The Church of Jesus Christ, who's heaven bound, who knows the truth, who has a brand new spirit. We're born again. It's our spiritual lives to worship. You name the group, you name the singer, you name the band, they should be lining up to get inside the doors of this place, because God will anoint his people when they sing with scratchy, goofy voices like mine. When we sing like we mean it unto the Lord God Almighty, the world, Mariah Carey will line up to get in here. Janet Jackson, Aaliyah, or whoever these girls' names are, they'll line up to get in. NSYNC will say, let us in. Why? you know what? We can sing better than those people. There's no doubt about it. And they don't have any world platinum records like we do. But you know what? There's something going on with those people. They're crazy. There's something great. There's a passion coming out of their life. They're on fire. For what? For who? I need to know. I believe this. It's important. Listen. It requires that we give our lives to Him spiritually. Well, listen, praise the Lord. I've got a bazillion pages of notes. We're going to make part two. If not, we'll go as long as it takes on this thing of worship. Because you know what? We can go through a lot of things in a Sunday, but this thing we cannot rush, because this is what we're going to be doing forever. And I hope and pray that this week worship intoxicates you, possesses you, conquers you. I am inviting in our lives the Holy Spirit to get control of our TV, our radio, our CD or DVDs. And it may not be that you're watching or hearing anything that's improper. No, not at all. But don't be surprised if someone somewhere steps up to you and says, I'm the Lord your God who created the heavens and the earth. Turn all that stuff off and worship thou me. Hey, we're going to talk about aspects of worship. We're going to talk about adoration. What does that mean? What does reverence mean? We're going to talk about it, and we're going to have fun, because you know what? I need to say this over and over again. We will conclude the message with its final exhortation in the area of praise. A lot of legalistic people have put down this act of praise. Very important. The Bible says that we ought to praise God. The Bible says that we should worship Him and praise Him. But there's a legalistic chord in every man's heart that says that this is how worship goes. We are so funny. We enter into the wonderful glories of God, and then we come out of it and we begin to market it, create a mold for it, begin to stamp it out and say this is the way it looks, and God refuses that and excludes all other expressions of worship. And one of those expressions of worship is this thing called praise. And praise is such a beautiful aspect. We're going to learn, and we will worship in spirit and in truth.
Looking forward to that. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called Why Should I Worship? And of course, we're talking about much more than mere music in a church service. It's a study taken from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 2, the basis for this mini-series called Why Should I? And speaking of which, it is available to you all on one MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. I'll say that again. We're glad to send to you this series called Why Should I? All on one convenient MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. If you want, you can read more about it simply by visiting us at realradioactive.org and under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. You can also call us using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us, send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, of course, if you missed any of this contact info, just remember realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.